Have you ever just sat there and absolutely laughed at yourself out loud, but just so glad no one was there but God? You ever been there? I was there recently. I appreciate Jack Moore, and Jack may be here this morning. I'd gone to pray with Shirley before her knee surgery, and we get to talking about knees, and I have really, really bad knees. And so Jack dropped a seed into my heart a few months ago, and ever since then, I got right on it, and I have become a swimming machine. I love swimming laps, and it doesn't do anything to my knees. I've kind of moved through the years, different kinds of exercise, and I've fallen in love with it. And so I basically, to kind of keep fresh with it, I swim here, of course, at an indoor pool. Okay, we all understand that in this time of year. But to keep it kind of fresh, I rotate between a breaststroke and a freestyle and then backstroke. And something that just naturally happened immediately was when you flip over and you start doing the pulls and the backstroke, I just automatically find a beam and I line myself up to it, either left or right dead center, depending on what lane I'm in. And that way I don't bother anybody as I swim. And so that worked out fine. And then we went to Arizona to be with both of our sides of the family there. We have about, six or seven siblings there and all of their kids, and had a wonderful time, but immediately I had to find a pool. So I went and found a pool and went the first day, and they wouldn't work with me at all, and you have to pay every day, and it was really expensive. So a friend of mine said, hey, you can use our pool, and it's an outdoor pool. Well, you're in Arizona, so it's not too bad, but I can tell you, in Arizona in December, it's still cold really early in the morning before the sun comes up. So I would get there early, and it was kind of embedded in the side of a mountain, just a beautiful setting, and I'd take off, and it'd be dark, and I'll never forget the very moment that I flipped onto my back. I went 5 breaststroke and 5 freestyle, and I started my first of the 5 backstroke, and how many of you ever noticed that there's really no real beams in the sky? Have you ever noticed that? Now, I know Rich Hammer could probably tell me otherwise. I should have, with quadrants or whatever, Rich, you could have told me how to do it. But I was just looking at some stars and a moon, and I took off, and I really had an issue because I'm pulling with my right and throwing myself in the rope on the left, and then I'm pulling my left, pulling myself over into the rope on the right. I finally got so discouraged with it that I just got out of the ropes, and there was a whole section where you could just swim freely, and yet you had the lap, so you could do the distance. And I got over there, and I found myself virtually going in circles. It was a riot. And I was just so glad that only God saw me, because I looked like an absolute buffoon out there trying to do my backstroke. I'm just not very good with it. And finally, whenever after a few days of it, I just gave up. I did 2 different strokes, and that's what I did, the breaststroke, the freestyle. And I thought, I can't wait to get home. I mean, who wants to swim in Arizona? I'd rather swim in Springfield, Missouri in an indoor facility. So there you go. Yeah, let's close in prayer on that. I need to confess my sins to the Lord on that statement. But we've been talking about, just started last week, taking a few weeks, calibrating our lives in 2012. Calibration. Calibration has to do with assessment, measurement, adjustment according to a standard. And that's what I realized in the first few times trying to and finally giving up. I had no standard to assess myself, to measure myself in the lane, to even adjust myself. And here I was just yesterday as I'm pulling through that water and realizing how important it is that I keep on that beam. If I have a standard, I can do just fine. But if I don't have that standard, I'm all over the lanes. I'm all over that pool. The same way in our lives, we as followers of Jesus have one standard today, and it's the precious Word of God. Aren't you thankful for God's Word? This is our standard. Now, we have little micro standards. We call them doctrines, faith and practice, the way that we do things as churches, and that may kind of be different church to church. But in the end, if a church says we are founded and built upon Jesus Christ, then this is their standard. It has to be their standard. And not what anything that man has given them, but what God gave us in His Word, it is our standard. So as we begin a new year, there are all kinds of things we can calibrate to, that we assess, measure, and adjust ourselves to in God's Word. Last week, we looked at the area of giving, and some of you were so happy. You just said, that is so great. I love when my pastor talks about finances right off the bat in the year. But how many of you are glad that that's out of the way now? Okay, because we're all calibrated to tithe, to bring our offerings, to sow good seed, believing we'll reap a harvest, as we read last week, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And so we talked about aligning ourselves to that standard of the Word of God, because He has told us in His Word what we are to do in the area of our giving. Today I want to look at another area here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 7, is a really, really common verse to many of us here. And why don't we read it out loud together? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now notice, operative word there, to show. Paul says the reason we have this incredible power of God in these earthen vessels, in these jars of clay, in just these ordinary clay pots, they're called in some translations. We have that. It's to show that it's not about us. It's all about God. Well, then move on down to verse number 16. And then keep your Bibles open if you will. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, there are three contrasts that I want us to note here. In these three verses, he contrasts the outward with the inward. He contrasts momentary troubles with eternal reward. And then he contrasts the things we see and the things that we can't see. And it's almost a play on words in that thought that we fix our eyes on what we can't see. Kind of sounds silly, but that's what we do. We fix our eyes on spiritual things rather than on the material. Look at it with me, if you will, to the screen or your outline. Verse 16, the outward versus the inward. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're renewed day by day. Second, momentary troubles versus eternal reward. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. See the contrast. And then again, things we see versus what we cannot see. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In these contrasts, Paul gives us three focuses, three things for us to calibrate our lives to: our inward man, our future glory, and our eternal perspective. Our inward man, our future glory, and our eternal perspective in life. Because if there are three things that will pull you and I where we will run into the ropes, if you will, three things that will absolutely shake you to your core and many times get you where you're not focused, where you need to be focused, and you need to recalibrate yourself, if there's three areas, they're the areas Paul mentions here. One of them is physical suffering. We go through physical suffering. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. But physical suffering, physical things where we, on an outward sense, are going through physical trials, trials and earthly troubles, the next verse, all of us here know what that is. And we don't know what the year is going to bring. And we can reflect on 2011, and probably all of us here could say, here was my main trial. Many of us, we could cite several things that were major trials in the last year, and we'll probably face more in 2012. Those light and momentary troubles, he says. And then the temporal, just this passing world has a way of drawing us in that we lose perspective, and we need to calibrate ourselves, Paul says, to what is not seen versus to what we see. That's an aspect of our faith. So verse 16 is our key verse today. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly, we're being renewed, and very important, we're being renewed, Paul said, day by day. Point number one today is this: the inward man must be a daily focus. The inward man needs to be a daily focus. I would dare say for any of you here, and you work in a secular environment, especially, that you might have someone come to you on a Monday, and you know, the way you look, your eyes, your attitude, or whatever, and they may look at you and think, wow, and they may not share the same faith you have, and so, you know, the line probably is, hey, you had a rough weekend, huh, a little too much partying or something like that, and I doubt you'd answer, but you could answer this way, where you might say, well, no, actually, I feel myself, you know, somewhat weakened in my physical man, but I'm being gloriously renewed by the Holy Spirit in my inward man. I'm fine, thanks for asking. I doubt that's how you would answer, is it? And that one might sound a little bit new agey and a little bit kind of sci-fi, outward, inward man stuff, but you know what? To a follower of Christ, that's biblical. to a follower and an understanding, a biblical understanding of who we are, that's a very biblical way to say it. Outwardly, yeah, I'm going through a lot of things kind of breaking loose in my life, but you know what? Inwardly, I'm going to be okay today, this Monday morning, and for the rest of this week. Paul prayed over his church this way, the church. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole, say these words with me, spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So at that moment when Jesus comes back, which by the way, the New Testament is replete. It talks over and over again about Jesus coming back. Could I remind you of that fact as we start a new year together? The Bible talks about it all the time. Paul says, I pray, think about it, that your body will be blameless, your soul will be blameless, and your spirit will be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you aware that you're not just a body today? You have a spirit, you have a soul housed within that body of yours. To the Ephesians, Paul prayed, and this is the song the choir just sang was Ephesians 4. In that very chapter, it says, he prayed, God, may they be strengthened by power through the Holy Spirit in their inner being. Not their outer being, but their inner being. In Romans 7, Paul described the struggle of sin, and he said that in my inner spirit, my inner being, I delight in God's law. He wants to serve God from the inside, his heart, his spirit, but he says, I find another law at work in the parts of my body, waging war against my mind. And so the battleground being here, kind of caught between here and here, is what Paul was saying. And he's mentioning there, we see the reference there of a body and a soul and a spirit and the challenges of what's going on with sin in all three. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Great Divorce, closes the book with an illustration of a chess set. And the picture that all of us are like little chess pieces on that chess set, and that we have free volition, that we move by the power of our choice, Lewis said. And he talked about how hovering over each one of those pieces is really the true us, the spiritual us, in a sense. I know it's kind of a weird picture, but Lewis was trying to illustrate how we live in this physical world of where we see the other chess pieces and we see the board and we see where we move. And if we look so much here and lose sight that really what really matters is the spiritual us, that the spiritual side of things really governs us more than we realize. And so we need to be more aware of what's happening over the top of that chessboard than just on that chessboard. It was a powerful illustration. But how intertwined the two are, the physical and the spiritual. In our text here, 2 Corinthians, Paul in the next chapter, chapter 5, I love this. Every time I read this, I'm just amazed at the thought. But he says that we live in this tent of a body, a tent. How many know tents come in all kinds of shapes and sizes? Have you noticed that? But we better not go there. Let's move on. But our tents, they tend to change over time. And the outward skin of our tent, and the inward many times, they get worn and tattered. That's what Paul says here. We waste away on the outside, that tent that Paul was talking about. How many remember Jack LaLanne? How many college students know who Jack LaLanne is? Okay, very good. When I was a little boy, I can remember the black and white television set. I know that shocks you that I'm that age, but I really am. And I remember watching Jack LaLanne. He'd wear that little leotard thing that he wore. It's kind of creepy, really. But he would wear that, and then he'd have a chair. Do you remember? And he'd be doing all of his exercises, whatever. Here's Jack LaLanne, young man, and he really kind of revolutionized fitness and nutrition. The guy was a pioneer, an amazing feat of strength that he did. He was 5'6" tall. I like that guy. He was amazing. It just hurts me when you laugh out loud when you bring up things like that. But he was an amazing man. And you know what? He focused so much on the physical, and it paid off. The man lived to be 96 years old. He just died last year, 2011. And his family told us it was respiratory failure due to pneumonia, but they said the week prior to his death, he was still exercising. He put so much into the physical, but you know what? His tent still folded. And that's what Paul's talking about here. I don't care how much emphasis we put. We're engrossed with our tents. Billions upon billions of dollars. Infomercials run 24/7 to take care of the skin, the canvas of this tent. The structure of these tents to keep them lean and strong. The inner organs of these tents free of toxins and disease. In 2010, we spent over $300 billion in prescription drugs just to keep the tent going. $34 billion in alternative medicines in America. $33 billion in weight loss products. $17 billion in dietary supplements. And an additional $7 billion on beauty products. Goldman Sachs estimate for the global industry, think about this, globally for skincare alone, there's at least $24 billion to take care of skin all over the world. $18 billion for makeup. $38 billion of hair care products. What a waste that is. Just kidding. It's not, honey, because you're beautiful. You need it. I don't, but you need it. Well, no, you don't need it. Oh, man. Shoot. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Hail Mary, whatever I do after that. Oh, my goodness. Honey, I love you. You're beautiful. Your hair is incredible. And spend whatever you want on it. Okay, I love it. Man, how did that happen? How did that happen? $15 billion in perfumes moving right along. ABC reported men spend $1 billion a year to fight baldness. That amazing. For cosmetic surgeries, I just read this, for 2010, I believe it was, in the midst of the recession, everything going on in America, cosmetic surgery, $10 billion. And we say we don't have disposable income. Huh. All for the tent. And really, first of all, back it up again, the clay pot, verse 7 of our text. But we have these treasures in jars of clay, taken right out of the earth's dirt. That's what we are. We're flawed, we're fragile, we break down, we're organic in nature. It's incredible. And Paul says, yet that is what houses the power of God. We're useful. These bodies are very useful, but yet they're just bound to be temporary. And so Paul's focus, though he talks about the jar and the tent, his focus here, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. What a picture. Say, man, the guy is depressing. No, he's not. Because look down again, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly the jar, the tent, is wasting away, inwardly, the spirit is being renewed day by day. Number two, the inward man sustains then the outward man. You need to think this way. You need a paradigmal shift. You need to calibrate the way you think about life to realize the inner man is who sustains the outer man, not vice versa. Matter of fact, Proverbs put it this way, and I would encourage you, read through the book of Proverbs, get out a concordance, or if you've got a Bible software of some form, then go ahead and just do a little study through Proverbs of the word spirit and the word heart. It's fascinating. It talks about a wounded spirit, a broken spirit, a contrite spirit, a happy heart does good like medicine. It's very interesting. A lot of focus in Proverbs is on the inner man versus the outer man. And so as we look at one proverb, it says this, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. My parents have been really sick. We all kind of came home just fighting something as we came home. Then you get on the plane, and Aubrey was really, really sick and on the plane, and her ears just filling up as we were landing back in Springfield. And my parents in major fevers. Dad's been really sick this week. And just in talking with them, but you know what? Their spirit is still strong. And as they are up in their upper 70s now, the physical body may be going through something, but it says in Proverbs, a man's spirit sustains him even in his sickness. And so physically may be one thing, but spiritually is another. Mom and dad are strong, strong spiritually. But it's a harsh reality of life. I sat with a lady just this week, and there were tears and just the harsh reality. And the bottom line, as we talked about, I said, you know, we really have to calibrate our thinking to what the Word of God says. You and I get 70 or 80 years if we have the strength. Some don't get that much, but that's what we hope for. And if you're beyond that, it's pure bonus time, if you will. I mean, it's God just allowing you more than what Moses, the oldest psalm in the Bible, out of 150 psalms, Moses says God gives us 70 or 80 years if we have the strength. And with all the medicines, with everything we have today, with all the organic foods we can eat, with all the bran muffins you can go after, with everything you can do to try to keep it going. But you know what? The Bible is true. And I sat with that woman and we talked about it and with tears and just the reality of life. But there's an answer. There's a solution to this, and Paul gave it here. That outwardly we may waste away, but inwardly we're renewed day after day. And that's what's so sad when you think about the masses of people, that they spend all of their focus on 70 or 80 years. And that's it. I said to Carla just this week, it was just flashed on the television there in our room, and she was in the restroom, and I looked, and I said, man, Brad Pitt's starting to look kind of old. And she agreed, and it made me feel really good. It really did, you know? But he's not looking so good anymore, you know? I'm just kidding. And he can take care of that, by the way. But anyway, but it's like the article I picked up years ago. I'll never forget it. Dentist's Office, People Magazine, I've mentioned this before. Ava Gardner in a flat over in London. And she was just with remorse talking about what it was that everybody in Hollywood wanted her physically. And now nobody wants me. And it was one of the saddest interviews and articles. You know why? Her whole life, everything was the physical. Nothing was the spiritual. How sad. And you know, the bottom line to it is, once we come into relationship with God, hear me today, we understand then the way he formed us in his image. And even as he is a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in one, the same, we are spirit, soul, and body. We are created in the image of God. But don't think then that the body is worth nothing. It's worth a lot. Your body carries you through life. To a lot of people, if it's all just the spirit, listen, we're not Gnostics. We don't believe that the material world, it's just all evil, and so we have to just live in a spiritual world. These bodies, Paul said, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So join me at the pool tomorrow morning. Could hear an amen. Amen. Well, don't do that. But anyway, but take care of these bodies. These bodies matter to God. So we do need to watch the way we eat. We need to exercise. We need to do a better job, much of the church, of stewarding these bodies. But you know what? Still, these bodies are going to wear down. Still, they do. You know, when you're young, you don't think so much really about it. It's kind of weird. And when you think about, we just dedicated little Emma today, and Ella rather, and just thank God for this little life, and to think, and so she's going to grow and grow. I don't know what the turning point is, but I think I already hit it. How about some of you? Where all of a sudden it's like, it's all up, and then it's all down from here. You know what I'm saying? So you do all you can do to try to, and when you're a college student, you just think, I'm gonna be this strong forever. No, you're not. It's going to change. Okay. And everything's, well, we won't even go into it. I'm just going to leave it right there. I could get in trouble again. Let's just move on. No matter how much we take care of it, we learn this lesson. The outward man's going to waste away. Say, what's the use of it? Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. But you know what? The key is the inward man can be renewed day by day. So thirdly, the inward man has the potential of continual renewal when the body doesn't. The physical simply doesn't. But the spiritual does. Here's a couple other translations. Knox says, though the outward part of our nature is being worn down, our inner life is refreshed day by day. I like that. Phillips' translation, the outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives fresh strength. And again, everyone here, the operative word here is, words are day by day. This is a daily renewing, refreshing. Look at the message by. I just always enjoy the message. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Can you say amen to his word today? See, it doesn't just happen though. And many of us have gone through this. I did for years. I've been in a much better pattern as I got a little bit older. But for years, okay, this is the year. I'm going to really hit that treadmill. I'm going to go to the gym, you know. And many make those promises. And you know what? You can look in the mirror, make that promise, and do it for an entire year. And until you go and actually work out, nothing's going to change. That's where the old lady years ago, Powers was her name, I think. She'd yell out, stop the insanity, you know. And it was just do something about your physical body. And there's so much about that today. And you know what? It's true, though. You can buy the CD and do all you can do. But if you don't do it physically, nothing's going to change physically. The same is true spiritually. There's an intentionality about this. You have to choose to be renewed day by day. Philip Keller said, and you know, it is interesting. I mean, just the way we are, the way we are peculiar about this. He said, we're a peculiar people who somehow feel that the final measure of a person's spirituality is to be gauged by their capacity to go, go, go for God. On the contrary, our Father calls us to come apart and spend some time in solitude with Him. And along the way, we have to intentionally allow that renewing to come. If you don't renew your spirit day by day, it won't get renewed day by day. And if you renew it one day a week or twice a week, those other days are going to pile up. And the same in the physical, it's true in the spiritual. That's why I'm glad that Paul didn't say, I'm renewed year by year. It's just something about that, but that it's day by day. I know Paul is saying, even though, and we know what Paul endured physically, my goodness, he went through so much on the outward. And that's why he could say, though, on the inward, we know Paul allowed himself to be renewed day by day. If you turn your outline over, we'll just walk through a few keys, and there are many, many others that we could look at. But just quickly, ways to renew your spirit, to focus, calibrate yourself spiritually every day. One of them is to begin your day with praise and thanksgiving. Begin your day with praise and thanksgiving. I mention this often. I do it to encourage you, okay? But I read a Sports Illustrated article on the life of Randall Cunningham, quarterback for the Eagles. Then he went to Minnesota, and he had a life transformation take place when he went to Minnesota, and he became a born-again believer. And I don't know where he's at today, what's going on, but he was really outspoken. And players around Randall Cunningham said he is a different man today than he was in Philadelphia. There was a great change, and he networked with a group of believers there on the Vikings, which is shocking there could be that many there, but there were some on the Vikings. But they were together, and that man really spiritually had a great change. And one thing he said is, every morning my knees hit the floor before my feet. And I thought, I can do that. And I just started a practice, and I rarely will miss this. At home, I never miss it. Every morning, did it this morning. My knees hit the floor before anything. Maybe that's why I have bad knees. I'm just kidding. No, they were already bad. But I've done this now for years. And then I picked up from Jack Hayford the idea of the praise, just a little acrostic, P-R-A-I-S-E, and to present yourself to God and to raise your hands to Him and then to audibly begin to thank Him or to activate your prayer language, begin to pray in the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your day. Sing a new song. Do that quietly if your spouse is sleeping, if you're married. Sing a new song and then enter into your day in faith. What a great way. I heard that at Promise Keepers 10 years ago. I applied it to my life. It's just a great way to start your day off. How do we praise God? Look at the 7 Hebrew words again. I have it for you in the outline. There are 7 words. The yada is to confess and give thanks with extended hands. That's why many of us, we worship like this. Say, why are you doing that? Just for show? No, we're doing it because this is what the Bible says. This is one way to praise God. And so we extend our hands to Him. Another Hebrew word is to extend hands in thanksgiving. Another, the Barak, to kneel and bow in praise. So kneel down and bow before the Lord in praise of Him. The Shabak is to praise or commend in a loud voice. And we did this Wednesday night. And thank you all that came out for prayer. We had a great turnout and a good night of prayer. But we started that night out and we filled this room with praise, vocal praise, because that is one way to praise God. The Zamar is to sing and play an instrument with skill. The halal is to boast and rave and celebrate God. The tehillah is to sing your praise to the Lord. So all of these words, you and I just read the word praise, but it depends on which Hebrew word is used as to what is the meaning there. And all of these have to do with ways to praise God. Listen to me. You want to calibrate yourself spiritually? A great way to start is the first thing you do every day is give God praise. Even if it has to be a sacrifice praise, you may not feel like praising Him. You may have a little issue with God, and you know what? God can deal with it. He's big enough to handle our issues. But that you start your day in some form of praise to Him. Second thing is to celebrate personally the elements of communion. And I know for some of you, that's really an unusual thing. And I was challenged by this years ago, and it was actually went back in church history about 700 or 800 years by one of the great reformers of the church. And realized, you know, I love communion corporately, and I love it. I've always cherished that. I loved Christmas Eve together as we broke bread together on that precious, special night of the year. But also on my own. Yesterday morning, I received the elements of communion alone in my chair, just the Lord and I, and that's fine to do. We need to do it together, but you can do it individually. And it's a great way. And here are some scriptures all connected to communion. It aligns your heart. It puts on the helmet of salvation. It sets the blood above the door of your heart, and it ushers you into thanksgiving. And so just receive communion. Go buy some juice, some crackers. Do it as a family. Do it as a couple. Do it on your own. If you're single, do it with your friends. It's fine. Or just do it by yourself, okay? Another thing, of course, is to spend time in God's Word. All of these are spiritual ways to renew yourself. Spend time in the Word of God. And I know that's a no-brainer for all of us. But for some of us, we don't do it on a regular basis. Paul said day by day, day by day. If you ever fast, and if you fasted this week in any way, shape, or form, you know how hard it is because the physical cries out. Whether you're fasting food or drink, whether you're fasting sugar or some kind of a dietary thing, it's always very hard because your body just cries out for that. But it's funny, we can fast Bible reading sometimes and not even feel a thing. You know why? Because we're so focused on the physical. If we were that focused and calibrated to the spiritual, we would feel it. I need a meal. I need a snack. I need some time in God's Word. We would feel that because this is spiritual food, the Bible says, sweeter than honey. So spend time in His Word. It renews your mind and spirit, Romans 12. It cleanses your mind and spirit, Ephesians 5. It guides our minds and our spirits, Psalm 119. Another thing to do is to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then pray in tongues. And as some say, well that, you know, that's silly because you really don't know what you're saying. But that's what 1 Corinthians 14 opens up with, that when you pray in tongues, that your mind in essence is dormant, but your spirit is alive and you're uttering mysteries to God. And Paul said, you edify yourself. That word means you build yourself up. Jude 20, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, there is something spiritual happening. You want to build the inner man, then pray in the Spirit on a daily basis. As well, it's part of our spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6. The last one, and a very important one, cultivate personal worship. So basic, but oh, friends, hear me. Don't make this your only worship experience. If you need Tom and the worship team, the choir, you need that to stimulate you, to get you going. Come on now, let's worship God. If that's what you need, something's wrong. You need to be a worshiper on your own. And then when you come here, matter of fact, you probably will complain less about whatever we do here if you worship on your own with God. Too many people have issue with every church in this city. The way that. If they were worshiping on their own, this would just be icing on the cake. They've already built the cake. As John said in his prayer life, my day is already set into order, so I don't need anything else because things are set. That's what worshiping does for us. And there's so many ways to worship God. You can worship in song. You can worship in absolute silence and solitude. You can worship through a prayer, of course. And the Bible says in Psalm 46, it quiets our spirit before God. It professes His lordship in our life. And I love Psalm 95. Don't you love that psalm? It says, let us come now and kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. You ever kneeled in your house when no one else was there but just you and God? I would highly recommend you do that. Just kneel. Nobody's around. You and God. That's when you'll know, hey, I really am worshiping on my own. And kneel and just lift your hands. Express praise to Him, one of those Hebrew words, extended hands of thanksgiving, and to worship Him alone, because it says there that He is our Maker and He's our Shepherd. We are the sheep of His flock, the flock that's in His hand. Worship, personal worship, builds your inner spirit. Henry Nouwen said, few of us can appreciate the terrible conspiracy of noise that there is about us, noise that denies us the silence and the solitude that we need for this cultivation of the inner garden, he calls it. That's the inner man. That's what we're talking about today. It would not be hard to believe that the archenemy of God has conspired to surround us at every conceivable point in our lives with the interfering noises of civilization that, when left unmuffled, usually drown out the voice of God. If I could say to young people here, the world you are growing up in is so different than the world I grew up in, and so different than the world those that preceded me a generation grew up in. It's so different today. And through especially social media, it's like life never shuts down. As I'm speaking, my iPad twice reminded me that hanging with words is waiting for me to do something just 3 minutes ago. It's a crazy world we live in. It never slows. It never stops. Got to get that status. Got to get that tweet. It just seems like it never slows down. There comes times, and just recently in my own life, I made a commitment in the new year, and I'll have time in the Word, and I'll have my devotional time, of course, but I made a commitment that before I head off to swim, to exercise, do anything in the morning, the first thing I'll do, even if it's not my devotional time, I'll go to my chair and I will quiet my spirit before God before I go and do anything physical. And I'm holding to that commitment. I'll just get in that chair, and it may be just a few minutes, however long it's going to be, but to quiet myself. Young people here, it's a good practice. Get away from your friends once in a while. Get away even from that phone. I know that's anathema, but you can do it. For 5 minutes, turn it on silent, leave it under the pillow, and go to a chair and just sit there and know that God is there. Psalm 139, and just sit in his presence, worship him. Soren Kierkegaard said, "If I can only prescribe one remedy to the ills and problems of the modern world, I would prescribe silence. Because without silence, if the word of God is proclaimed, it can't be heard. There's too much noise." So he said, "I prescribe silence." Now for some of you today, and I'll close with this, it's important that you decide then, calibrate yourself, but already you're defeated. You already say, I won't make it through the whole week. Can I encourage you to do this then? 5 minutes a day, but don't miss a day this week. Just five. I mean, it's kind of what we do in physical exercise. It's like if you never get started, you'll never get started, you'll never get started. Or you'll go crazy. You'll do 3 hours one day on the treadmill, and then you won't work out for 3 weeks because your body's recovering. Okay, it's not good. Just start with 20 minutes a day, they always say. Just get that little increment of time. Could I encourage you? Worship, prayer, solitude. Start with five then, but don't miss any days. And have your focus this week being, I'm wanting to let God, through the Holy Spirit, strengthen the inner man, my spirit and my soul that's within this body of mine. And just at least do five, do 10, maybe 15 a day. That'd be awesome. And don't miss a day. And just every day, and let God renew your spirit day by day. I, at Christmas time, went to visit Leslie. And Leslie was my neighbor next door when I grew up. She was 5 years younger than me. And so when you're in high school, that means she was very uncool and I was very cool. So, you know, I didn't have much relationship with her. She was too young. But then as we got older and I headed to Arizona and she ended up in Minnesota, she was a very successful investor, as I recall, did really good in the financial world, amazingly well. Went to North Central University for a season. And Leslie in her 30s was stricken with MS, a severe attack of multiple sclerosis. And it has just literally just taken her down, her life. She's 44 years old then. And last Christmas I did this, and I wanted to go back again. Her brother-in-law pastored a church, so I never really followed her up a whole lot while she was there, and I regret that now hugely. And she moved to Phoenix 4 years ago, to Mesa, right there. She was a few miles. I went to right by there many, many times. So last Christmas I went, this Christmas I went again. I called Bonnie, her mom, and said, "Bonnie, what does Leslie like the most?" And she said, "She loves blizzards from Dairy Queen." I says, "All right, well, what flavor and what do I do?" And she told me the exact instructions, have them really chop up the nuts strong. She said, "You realize you have to feed it to her." I said, "That's fine." And I went there, and it was just a very sobering moment to take each spoonful and feed it to a 44-year-old young lady that without an absolute miracle of God, she'll go home. And her body now, she's paralyzed from the waist down. And that's why you have to feed her. And she has movement. But as I walked in a year ago and as I walked in this year, and no offense to those older here, but I just thought, what must it feel like to be in your early 40s and all of your peers are in their 80s or 90s and many of them family have forgotten. And that's where you live every day. And a few come to visit you, and we looked at her board and pointed all the pictures and walked through her life. And I realized how limited her life is because physically she's wasting away. Thankfully, she knows the Lord, and I pray she renews the spirit because that spirit, it will go. And the body, it was just a graphic image of a body wasting away at 44 years of age. Friends, you have no assurance of tomorrow. And you could be here, and I'm not trying to be dark, but the fact is, we just don't know tomorrow. And the physical body, it does waste away. We don't all get guaranteed. And even when we get the 80, we want more. That's just the way human nature goes. But you know what? You have no assurance. And the problem is, we focus so much on the physical when the spiritual is what really matters most. Body, soul, and spirit are all important, but in the end, you know what's most important? Soul and spirit. That you are serving God. You're focused upon Him. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes today? Just ask if there's anybody here this morning that you would say, Jeff, my focus is very physical. And you know, when we're young, oh my goodness, God made it that way. Hormones make it that way. God created it that way. We're very physically oriented. Men in this room especially, we understand. And it's the way that God made us, but you know, we can't be so physically minded that we do nothing about the Spirit. And if anything, Paul's word is day by day, we better be renewed spiritually because the physical is going to pass. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've never really fully embraced the claims of Jesus Christ. I've never really turned my heart over to a God that the Bible says created me, a God that gave His Son to die for me. But see, the fact is the Bible says all of us have sinned. Evidence of our sin, one of them is that we all waste away. That's part of the sin. That's part of the curse. That's a reason we have such a sick world. Don't blame God. It was that God gave free will to man, and man made a choice, and we all are a result of that. That's why we fall apart ultimately. But on the inside, we can be made brand new and then renewed day after day after day, and it's so worth it. Is there anybody here you say, Jeff, this is my day. I've never really asked God to come into the inside of my being and change me from the inside out. But today is the day, and I want to ask Jesus to come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I want to know today that if I die, if this physical body ended today, that my spirit has the destination that we all want. Well, that only comes through Christ. That doesn't come through the church, doesn't come through a pastor, doesn't come through the coattails that your grandfather was a great pastor. It comes through you having a relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody here? You lift up your hand right now, just up and down. You say, that's me, Jeff. Pray with me right now. I want to ask God to come into my life, and I want to begin a spiritual journey today. Is there anybody? You just put up your hand real quick, and I'll just try to catch it. All right, yes, I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Today is your day. You say, I want to start a journey with God and invite Him into my heart today. Anybody else? Just put up your hand, just enough that I can see it. Anybody else today? You joined this. Anybody? Put it up again if you did, in case I missed it. I see the one. Is there anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. God bless you both. Anybody else today? Awesome. This is exciting to me. You are about to be reborn, the Bible says. Start a new beginning from the inside out. Is there anybody else today? You put up that hand. How wonderful. Anybody else? How many are here today and you say, Jeff, with an uplifted hand, I love Jesus, but I have to admit, I am so physically oriented. I need in 2012 to begin to renew my spirit much more from the spiritual inside out. Let me see your hand. And this resonates with you today. Many, many hands. Yes, we all do. We all do. Let that inner man be renewed through the word, through communion, through prayer, through praise, through solitude. Let Him renew us on the inside out. Amen. Let's, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, pray a prayer. And for these that raised your hand, even if you didn't, you want to pray this prayer, I'm going to invite everybody to pray it together, but we're doing this for you. I prayed this prayer as a little boy, and I prayed it over and over again many times in my life, and today is your day. Would you pray with us just to invite God to come touch your life? Let's pray together. If you would, just these words out loud, everyone together. Dear God, I know that I've sinned. I may not understand everything. But your Bible says that Jesus came to earth and He died for my sins. I believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, and I know I've sinned. So please forgive me. Please change my life. Please do what your Bible says. Come into my heart. And let today be a fresh start. I turn from my sin by your help, and I receive Jesus into my life. Change me now. In Jesus' name, amen.